Well, we are very excited because today we have a very special guest and one we've had a couple times on before.
Yes.
Our resident astrologist extraordinaire, Jess Dimitro.
Hi.
Hi, Jess.
Hi.
How are you guys?
We're
How's everybody?
good. How are
Great.
you? We heard that you've started a podcast yourself.
Yeah, it's amazing because because of you guys getting me out there, like I never thought I would do it, I guess, because I'm like super nervous about myself and doing it with you guys, I was like, that's not bad. And so I have a friend who her and I are just on the same wavelength. So we just started it and we just keep doing it and it's just amazing. And it is called The Alchemical Goat. It is on Spotify and on Acast. So that's where we are so far.
Awesome. We will definitely include links to your podcast in the show notes, so everybody check that out. Laura, so what are we going to be talking about with Jess today?
Well, since we know it's coming up and I feel like we should be well prepared, Jess is going to help us cover what exactly is Mercury retrograde? What the fuck does it mean?
Yeah, Mercury retrograde. As I said in the last episode, I literally could not pronounce it when we were teasing this episode. I'm like, you know what? It might be hitting me a little early, maybe. Yeah, we just, Laura and I, when we talk about like, what episodes we want to do, I feel like this is one that a lot of people are very curious about. It's definitely like a buzzy word.
Yeah,
I think
so
it has
buzzy.
so many different meanings across the board, and it might be misunderstood, or maybe people have a very surface understanding of it. So we kind of just want to like dive into it so that all
Absolutely.
of our newbie and just our and all of our witches that listen, or anyone who's interested in astrology that's listening, so that they can get a good scope of what it is and how it affects them, all that jazz.
I think because I'm both my sun and my moon are ruled by Mercury, that I have this like
Same.
special connection to it. Right, Laura. And actually, you're rising too. So, like, you probably know when Mercury retrogrades, like, all of a sudden you're like, I think you're right. There's a lot of buzz around it. And I think because of the fact that it's so overt, right? Like, all of a sudden communication stuff goes wrong. I think it brings back opportunities for us to kind of work through things too. So like relationships, friendships, things that we may have thought, well, I already dealt with this, so why is this coming back up now? And I think also on a personal note that it really affects the house placement that it's in when it retrogrades. So for example, and on May 10th, when it goes retrograde this time, it will be 4 degrees into Gemini, which it rules. So I think all of us will be feeling it that effect. And then it will retrograde to about 26 degrees Taurus. So this air earth thing is a very fascinating thing. I'm ruled by air and earth. I know Laura has a lot of air and earth. Maria, you have at least earth. I think, yeah,
Yeah,
because
I got
you're.
earth and water.
Right. So like we're, Earth really affects us. And I think for like Taurus in particular, for me, that's my third and my second house. So like my communication and also like where I'm going in business, my value, how I value myself, those kinds of things will become big topics. So if I haven't worked through that, Mercury retrograde sort of gives us an opportunity to redo some of the things that have come up or are coming up so that when we move forward, because it's like a clock that moves backwards, so it's going back over space that we may have already traversed. so we can kind of make way for whatever's happening next. I see it as a positive thing. I know a lot of people don't. I know it can be very difficult, especially when it's like the little, like all of a sudden you're in traffic and you're really having a hard day and all of these feelings are coming up. That can be really difficult to deal with. If you're trying to make something like a podcast, right? And you're trying to get everybody on the same page and somebody's internet is going out, that can be really frustrating.
Yeah.
So I think those are the things, those day-to-day operation stuff, which is definitely ruled by Mercury, can be really frustrating. But for me, all astrology is about the lesson that I'm learning. And I tend to look at bigger picture when I look at it so that I can think, take my power back with it and go, what am I meant to be learning right here? What is this teaching me? And I think by having that context in mind, it makes it a little bit smoother because, you know, it makes the planets more aware that like, oh, hey, she is really trying to learn during this time. She's really trying to figure out what it is we're bringing to her. And I don't see it as a bad thing at all. And I'm not saying that those frustrations can't be frustrating, because certainly they are, you know?
Yeah.
The last Mercury retrograde, which happened in February, it started in January, went to February. And I think it's really fascinating because last year, all the Mercury retrogrades happened in the air signs particularly. So all of that air energy was coming up. And now they're starting in the air signs, but they're moving into the earth signs. So I think this is fascinating. It's our mental energy versus our, how are we grounding stuff down? So whatever you're trying to bring in right now, that is what the focus is, right? And I think it's fascinating because it's at the beginning of air and at the very end of earth. And I know for myself, I have my moon sign at 28 degrees Virgo. So my emotional nature is affected by these things, right?
Right.
Maria, you have your sun at 28 degrees Capricorn.
That's right.
So you're going to have that affected, right? Laura, you have Venus at 26 or 27 degrees Virgo. So you see, that's going to bring in that energy. That's going to connect you to that. And it's a trine, so it's an easy flowing energy. But with a retrograde, you just never know.
So I have a question, and I think, actually, it's like two parts. I think for our more newbie peeps that are listening, what exactly is a retrograde? And why do you think that of all the planetary retrogrades, Mercury is such a popular one to talk about, and that is the one that comes up the most?
So the first part of the question is that what is it, right? And essentially, like, so the planets never move backwards. I think this is a misnomer that people think that Mercury actually moves backwards. But what's happening is that the sun is moving its thing, and it never retrogrades. The sun and the moon never retrograde, because they're moving with the flow of the planet,
right?
Mm-hmm. And so Mercury is never more than 1.5 signs away from the sun. So as the sun keeps moving, Mercury moves at a certain rate. So it's going to look like it moves backwards at some point to keep up with the rate of how the sun moves, if that makes sense.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Like a trick of the eye kind of a
thing. And the outer planets and, you know, Saturn, Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, they all retrograde too. They retrograde, especially the outer planets like Uranus to Pluto, they retrograde for a long time. They're not just retrograding a little bit. They're retrograding 5-6 months. So it's like we're so used to that. And I don't necessarily pay as much attention to that. I would in a birth chart reading, where like, for example, mine are retrograde. So that just means that energy is more internal.
Right.
Right. And that's what Mercury essentially means, is it's more internal. Why I think Mercury is more, why it's more paid attention to, I think it's because it happens more often for a 3-week period. Mm-hmm. I think because we are so affected by it, like we can see it overtly, where the inner planets, we're looking at them more internally. And we don't necessarily Like Mercury is one of those planets where it's an interpersonal planet. So every part of it really affects us and we can notice it. Like right. we're always in notice of our communication and our right. technology mm-hmm. and our relationships, right? So, yeah. but the outer planets, they mean other things, and you might not necessarily be as in tune with them as you are with Mercury.
That's such a good
Venus
point.
Venus is another great example, right? Because it doesn't retrograde as often as Mercury does. It only retrogrades once every 18 months. But the energy of it, especially at the same time as Mercury, like our last Mercury retrograde, had some time with Venus where they were both retrograding. Everything stopped for a lot of people. Like there was just no movement. And that's one of the things that we have to pay attention to is that it's sort of this hanged man energy where whatever plans were going on either got canceled, they didn't move forward. Like people that generally don't get jobs. Now, I have to say something about that too. I'm in a group for Virgo moons and a lot of people, and I asked a question like, do you think people who are ruled by Mercury, whatever big three, feel it more? And the consensus was yeah, we do. We feel it more. And some of the retrograde people who have Mercury retrograding natally in their chart were mm-hmm. saying that they actually thrive during this time.
Oh.
So I thought that was really interesting.
I mean, that kind of makes sense to me. Like, if you think of if that's the state of it when you were brought into this world,
right.
I could see that would be a comfy, at least, you know, right. sort of feel. If not, like you said, thriving.
Well, it's like when a planet touches itself in your chart, right? And you have this mm-hmm. return. And it just depends. Like you have this whole new chart cast for, you know, whatever time period that is. There can be a really amazing energy. And I think it depends on where you're at with it. But also there is this homeness to it. Like, oh, mm-hmm. I understand this energy and I can work with it. So that kind of makes sense to me too. But I thought it was really fascinating because there were a couple of people that have that and they were just like, nope, I'm really doing well at this time. And Venus was retrograding too. So I thought that was really interesting that maybe they had more possibility and potential during retrograde periods because of that. So
right.
something to think about. I would like to do a study.
Yeah. And honestly, I think even later in this episode, I think it would be kind of interesting to go into what that means in like your natal chart with planets that are retrograde. But I'm kind of interested in, because I know when Mercury retrograde comes up, you know, I feel like everyone knows. Even if someone is like, astrology is all made up, I don't believe in it, they'll still mention Mercury retrograde. They still somewhat buy into it. But I know, you know, like every time it's in a sign, and would be interested to know, like, what can someone expect knowing what sign it's going to be happening in, or signs, as you said, it's moving, and how different can that look?
So I would say for everybody, it's going to be starting at 4 degrees Gemini and moving to 28 degrees Taurus. Mm-hmm. How that looks different is the house placement. Like for you, Laura, it's going to be in your ninth house, which is like about travel. It's about, you know, higher education. It's about expansion of the mind. Maria, it's in your seventh mm-hmm. house. And Maria, I'm going to tell you, I looked at your chart and it just lit up like a Christmas tree because you have so many things going on. There's going to be a lot of planets not even necessarily just planets, but things like the North Node is in Taurus, Uranus is in Taurus. I think there's going to be more like Venus is headed towards Taurus around that time, around the 10th of May. So we're going to have a lot of Taurus stuff. I know my solar return chart, I'm so lucky. Mercury goes out of retrograde the day before the solar return chart. And essentially what that means is that, right? So I was born in Colorado Springs, but it does it the day before, but whenever the sun conjuncts itself exactly like minutes and seconds, another chart is cast. And so when I look at mine, I have a lot of Taurus, like all Taurus. So that just brings a lot of energy to like, to business, to my value of myself. It's going to be in the 10th house in the solar return chart. So like, there's going to be a lot of energy towards me coming out into public, obviously with my podcast, with my website, with clients. You know, I've gotten more clients, I've gotten repeat clients. So there's a lot of like energy there, which honestly, like, I'm excited about. And then I'm also like, but I like to be home and just chilling. So I'm really like getting into like the magic part of astrology too. Mm-hmm. So like, you could do like more like, you know, you could celebrate the air around May 10th and just kind of give Mercury what it's looking for. Right? Like journaling, you know, these kinds of things where you can go internally, because that's what it really wants us to do. None of us like really go, I should go internally right now. Right? We have to kind of have stuff happen and break down for us to go, you know what? I really need to look inside of myself right now and see what the universe is saying to me. And that's when like journaling, reading, And like I said, it's like the hanged man energy. You're not really supposed to be going out there and making stuff happen during that time. You're really supposed to be going inside and looking at what you need to work on so that you can move forward. So.
I like that. I really like that. That makes sense. And so then would you recommend, like, when you're working on your inner stuff, keeping in mind which house that's happening in, and kind of putting the focus on that with the internal. So like,
so let me give you an example, because Laura, I think yours, like in the ninth house, like, sure, you would want to be like, you know, expanding your mind. But I think for contraction as well as expansion are very important. That's how the universe is. It breathes, right? But it also has to come back in. So that would be really good for you and a great analogy. Whereas Maria is about relationships, right? It's about her relationship with other people. But more importantly, all relationships with other people are a reflection of relationship we have with ourselves. So it would be a good time to go in and see, like, how are other people affecting me? How am I contributing to this relationship? Because honestly, it's just what, it's a teacher, right? Every single person in our life is a teacher. Some people are going to be easier flowing relationships where we can like have conversations and have this amazing thing. And then other people are going to be teaching us something, how to deal with things, how not to get upset, how to look at ourselves and like what we're putting out there. So I think, you know, as we have a Mercury retrograde, these are times to really look at these things. And also triggers of other people are really just things that are unmet in ourselves.
Right.
Oh, can I put that on a poster?
So, I hope I answered that question.
You did. Oh, yeah, absolutely. You're always very thorough in your answers, and we love that.
Yes.
So funny that you say that you mention like the seventh house being about like relationships, partnerships. I'm actually going to be getting, even though my wedding is in October, like my big shindig, we're actually getting legally married on our fifth anniversary in May.
So can I just tell you, I was downloading a bunch of information before this episode, just kind of in the morning, just getting my stuff together, looking at your chart, looking at Laura's chart. I was going to ask you if you were getting married in May because of all of the energy that you have there, including Uranus. Now, these are all trying your natal planets, because your natal Uranus is at 14 degrees Capricorn. So there's that trine there. So this shows like a shift and a change in your regular life. So I was kind of wondering if that was going to happen. And because your north node is in, which is funny because mine is at 13 degrees Virgo. Yours is at 13 degrees Capricorn. So there's a lot of stuff. Now, the north node right now is in Taurus, right? Mm-hmm. So it's moving. It moves backwards. So it's moving through all of that energy. So you're probably hitting a lot of milestones and a lot of shifts, especially with Uranus there too. It's just a big, it's a big hot spot right now.
Yeah.
So if you have a lot of Earth placements, you're, and these are good flowing energies. These are good changes mostly. But again, that's why Mercury retrograde is so amazing, because it gives us that opportunity to kind of work through some of that energy so it can be the most amazing.
Yeah, no, Gavin and I have decided to do a lot of life stuff within a year, like a lot of life stuff.
Well, I think it's great because our last episode was on the Saturn return, yes, and I think we talked about this.
We did.
Yeah, and- yeah.
Yeah, so since that episode, yeah, I've gotten engaged. We bought a house and we got a cat and we're going to get married. And then later this year, we're going to have our big wedding. We might get a dog because we're crazy people too, but not until after the wedding.
I wonder, I forgot to write it down, but I wonder, when is your wedding in October?
When is it? October 15th. Yes. I almost said October 21st, but that was mixing the dates because our legal marriage is May 21st. And then our big wedding in Dominican Republic is October 15th.
Okay. I don't think Mercury is retrograding at that time, but I know, I think it does retrograde in October. So I'm just checking for you. Not that that would change anything, but just so you might be aware.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, I'm so happy for you, and I just want to say congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. It's an exciting time for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. Okay, so then I have a question, like, for people who maybe don't know their charts very well,
mm-hmm,
or how to read things, what kind of Mercury retrograde advice could you give them on what to look out for?
I mean, I think...
Same kind of thing?
Well, I mean, I think if you don't have to know your chart to know that you have Gemini and you have Taurus. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, just looking at what Gemini means, right? Gemini. And it's funny because Mercury rules Gemini, and mm-hmm, rulership in astrology is an important thing. Now, I've kind of transcended this, but the inner planets, when they rule a place, like, so Mercury rules Gemini, and then Venus rules Taurus. So those two planets will be important. And I think it's interesting because the last time of the retrograde, they were retrograding together. So I would almost say that some of that energy might come back if it wasn't worked out all the way, right? Because there's this sort of symbiotic relationship happening between them and this. And so I would just say, like, you know, that communication is important, and also like how we value ourselves. I really look at Taurus as our self-value. I know it means business stuff. I know it means other stuff, but really it comes down to the core of things. And I really like to get to the core of like what's really happening. And it's really about how we value ourselves, what we're telling people, or in regards to either relationships or how we put ourselves out into the world, our own inner strength and self-reliance becomes a very important factor in that. And so I would think that, you know, I think they're really connected, right? As all the signs are, that, you know, how we value ourselves and how we communicate are sort of linked. And then also that's a part of how we show others that we value ourselves. So I think those might be key concepts to think about May 10th through June 2nd.
I like that. I actually, that kind of puts a twist on just thinking how I think of Taurus in general. I've always loved Taurus signs. Mm-hmm. And I've always tried to pinpoint, like, I don't know, every sign I tend to get like a gut, like, I don't know, judgment, I guess. Maybe that's a Virgo thing. But not like in a bad way. Just like, that's what I think of when I think of them. But I really, I think self-worth is it makes sense to me that that's who Taurus would be at their core, based on the other things that kind of bounce around in my brain. I've always thought of them as they know their worth and what their time is worth to them. And
sure.
They like a good work-life balance, and
Another thing that we can learn from Taurus is not to take things too fast.
Right.
I think, you know, as a Gemini, and as a, I have a lot of Taurus, so it's funny because there's like this very loyal side to me because my Mars and my Venus are there. So like, I'm like the loyalest friend. But I do things on such a fast level. And my Taurus side is like, can you just slow down a little bit? And I think that's what Taurus teaches us, is that not the best things in life are not going to happen overnight.
Right.
That they take time to develop and cultivate. And I think of it also as like a big garden bed, right? Like, we need to prune sometimes. Sometimes we need to really take a look at, to make it beautiful, to be able to understand, like, our flower in our garden isn't going to just come up when we want it to. It takes time to really, like, you know, it takes sun, it takes water, and there's a balance there that makes it beautiful. So Taurus is really about cultivating ourselves. Mm-hmm. And I think pruning is a very, so important. And I think that's what these Mercury retrograde periods give us time to do, is shut off, like, this isn't serving me anymore. I need to take a look at this because I don't know how to move forward with this energy. Mm-hmm. And it is okay to shift and change. It is okay to let something go, or even someone, if they're not serving our highest and best good. So I'm actually, like, just now that I'm thinking about it, so grateful for this time, because it does have that hangman energy of, like, maybe moving forward is not in my best interest right now.
Mm-hmm. So. It's very interesting how people, when they hear Mercury retrograde and that very surface level understanding of, like, it's a bad time.
Nothing's going to go right.
Nothing is going to go right. Must be Mercury retrograde. Or, oh, you know, stuck in traffic, Mercury retrograde, whatever it is, passed for a promotion. It's kind of become this sort of scapegoat.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's very interesting how you frame it, where it's more of a time for, like, reflection and that going inward, that I think people don't take it to that step in their understanding of what Mercury retrograde is and what it can serve for you.
It's almost like the way, like, how my brain's been taking it in is, if you are supposed to be in a period of introspection, but you are trying to move forward, things aren't going to go right.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think all astrology is that way. I can't even tell you the amount of people that think, oh my God, the planets are really messing with me. It's like, I get that. Because we see that as, we don't have control. But what we don't realize is, as above, so below. When you start looking at, what is this trying to teach me? What am I learning right now? How can I move forward? Like, really looking at yourself. And I'm doing that, a lot of shadow work on that lately, which is another very buzzy witchcraft word, but it's true, right?
Yeah.
That we have opportunity. The planets are always teaching us so we can evolve. And when I look at it like that, it's way less of a thing than saying, oh my God, Mercury is retrograding and everything is going wrong, because that feels out of my control. But what I do have control over is how I see it, how I feel it, and how I integrate it into my life. Now, I'm not saying those frustrating things aren't frustrating. Absolutely, when my internet isn't working and I have to be in a meeting at work, that's frustrating. But maybe I'm not meant to be in that meeting. So, like, the universe is always really looking out for us. I mean, that's the way I see it. I know that that's really in my chart too. But I've just in surrender of it, because I don't have control over where the planets are and how, you know, what they're doing, but I do have control over how I let them affect me, and then utilizing them and becoming in our I consciousness instead of our me consciousness. Our me consciousness can be controlled, where our I consciousness makes us the creator, and I think there's a difference in that.
Right. Oh yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that definitely does. Definitely does.
See, I like to give people their power back when they do readings with me.
Me too.
Yes, that's awesome. Because, there is, like, you know, a lot of people believe that it's like, wow, these planets kind of just bully us or tell us what to do or influence us. And I'm just kind of like a puppet or like this punching bag going back and forth. But also that's just kind of life. Like, yeah. Even when things are going right, you know, everything is not to get like so bleak, but like nothing lasts. Like things ebb and flow. Like there's a reason why I got this tattooed on me. It's the Unalom. And it literally represents that life has its inevitable twists and turns. And there has to be some form of acceptance for you to seek and actually achieve growth during those twists and turns.
Yeah.
I think that's part of it, right? Like, we're not supposed to be comfortable. Mm-hmm. Comfort is such a like misnomer because we think, oh, I just want to be comfortable. But that job that you have that's comfortable is actually stopping you from growing. And right. So I think the planets like always want you to be growing, and whether that is at a time of wonderfulness and abundance, or whether that's at a time of lack. But if you really look back on your life and looked at all of those times where you weren't necessarily happy, it was because you were wanting to go to the next step. You were wanting to create something. Like if we were all good, we wouldn't be doing this podcast. If we lived in abundance all the time, we wouldn't want to bring new stuff. We wouldn't be searching. I'm such a searcher. Mm-hmm. I literally start my morning at 5 o'clock in the morning to start reading spiritual literature. I can't stop because I want to be growing all of the time.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, there's something inside of me, and that makes my podcast more interesting. That makes my message more interesting because I'm always wanting to know more. And if I was okay, I mean, I am okay, but like, you know, if I was like, oh, I'm done, you know, and the universe told me this, actually, I did this awesome reading where the universe is like, no, you've grown enough. Good job. Now it's time to put it out there. And I'm like, no. I'm like still wanting to learn, which I'll never stop doing.
Right.
You know, so I think that these time periods where we see that as like lack, or we see it as like the planet's doing stuff to us, if we really looked at it, we would be like, oh, but it brought this into my life, or I met this person, or I was more self-reliant and I wasn't searching for other people. And I think it really comes down to that, you know, what does that look like for me to start being more reliant on myself instead of other people? And those time periods where, you know, the fluctuation is always going to happen. And and Maria, I've been really thinking too about how impermanent everything is. And I think it's just so awesome that you said that because, you know, even if you get what you want, even if you're at the like most abundant time you've ever had, there's always going to be that dot of something that's missing or something that you want. It's just how life is. That's what gets us to thrive all the time. And of course, it's about ebb and flow, expansion and contraction. That contraction time is just as important as the expansion. You know, we are on a pendulum as human beings. So we're only going to expand as much as we can contract.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. You know, it's so, I like to get like a little flowery right now. I love me like the moon so much. And during this Mercury retrograde, I just like realized during this Mercury retrograde, I think it's like the 15th or the 16th, the full moon, which will be like the flower moon. And that I love that moon so much because for me, that's like the time of growth and evolving. Mm-hmm. So it's like kind of so fitting that it aligns during Mercury retrograde. But that's also just like, I don't know, is personal meaning for me. And also, you know, it's like it depends on person to person what full moons mean to them. But I think that's for me, I just kind of like realized that. And that's like very exciting.
Can I say why I think you like it?
Sure.
Because you have a Scorpio ascendant. And so, like, that energy will be moving through that area of your chart, right? So, and also because as a Cancer moon, the moon is extremely important, right?
Right.
And it's in the sign of rulership where it's most comfortable. So like Taurus and Cancer share energy. They just do. They're very, mm-hmm. I won't say they're similar because I think cardinal and fixed, right? Taurus is a fixed sign where Cancer is cardinal, but there's a free flowing energy between them and a similarity in the nurturing. The moon is exalted in Taurus, which means it's in a really great place. It really likes it. And it really has like, so people with Taurus moons will be very nurturing. They would be really into animals. They'll have gardens. They'll be able to make anything grow, which totally makes me jealous because I kill everything, you know, but they just have this way of just kind of nurturing the energy. And as Cancer moon, right? Like that's totally awesome. We're like, with people with Cancer moons, they're that's the mother part. So there's that symbiotic relationship between those two things, the nurturing of the earth, the nurturing of ourself, and then the nurturing and the mothering of Cancer.
Oh, then that makes sense. That's
okay. I like that. And I like Taurus full moons too, or the Scorpio Taurus, because I have a lot of Taurus, so that always brings that energy back to the self, mm-hmm. to my value. And I'm always super busy in May because it used to be like prom season because in my old life,
right?
I worked retail, and so May was always like so busy, but it would go by so fast, and I would make so much more money than I would at other times. So I always appreciate that about May energy. Yeah.
Yeah. May is a great month. It's one of my favorite months of the year. Mm-hmm. Definitely top three.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And speaking of which, actually, tonight, the day that we're recording, is a full moon itself, too. It's a pink moon.
Yeah.
It is. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, go. You go. You go.
Please.
It's in Aries and Libra, which is like my first and seventh house. So like, it's like just, I don't know, like yesterday I was doing ritual and I just felt like this energy, this very like harmonious, beautiful energy. So I'm really enjoying it. And after our last fun conjunction between Neptune and Jupiter, which just happened, I needed some of that nurturing energy to come back because it happened conjunct my ascendant, so I had an interesting time. But it's in Libra. I love Libra energy. I think it's a Gemini too, like that air. But it's also about partnership, and it's about friendship, and it's about you know, just appreciating ourselves, going inside, and then also with the Aries. I've really enjoyed Aries season this year. I'm in a creative space, and that fire has really fed my soul. So
I haven't even like contemplated how Aries season has been for me. I feel like it's been busy, and it's been what's the word that I want to use? New, a lot of new things have been happening. Mm-hmm. Not even necessarily to me, but things around me, new things are happening that I kind of have to adjust to.
I think because, so what happens, this is actually a good addendum to the question about how do people who don't know much about their charts or astrology can work with that energy. And I think mm-hmm. being that Aries is the natural first house, which mm-hmm. sort of makes it everybody's first house. Which is mm-hmm. why we experience so much newness and energy, and when the sun is in Aries, you know what I mean. So if you don't know your chart or don't know your birth time, you can always use the natural houses. Like if you were to do magic, say, you would use like for Aries time, you would do stuff with pertaining to you, what you want, your intentions. When it moves into Taurus, you would look at the ways in which you're treating yourself, how you want to cultivate things. When it moved into Gemini, you would want to work on, communication, your perception of the world. those kinds of things. And you can use that quite easily. And that mm-hmm. that also, when you know like where something is, you can just look at the house placements of the natural zodiac to kind of understand it for society.
Oh, cool. Okay. I mean, that makes sense, but
astrology is so cool. There's so many things. There's so many charts. There's so they're like, I could get stuck all day just looking at stuff and looking at it from different perspectives. So sometimes it's easier just to simplify it. Like, what is this saying to society, right? Like, because like we're all kind of in that. We're right. all participating in culture and the way things are moving. So those kinds of things are a good way also to get to know, so that when you do your own astrology, you know how the first house and the second house are, because you know Aries and Taurus, right? They mirror mm-hmm. each other so perfectly because they're the rulers. And so you look to the rulers as well, right? So like fourth house, for example, for me, is in my fourth house starts in Gemini, but I'm also looking at the moon and I'm also looking at Mercury. You see what I mean? Those things are right, important right. because the moon naturally rules that house, where Mercury is the ruler by for me. So that's how right. we personalize it. But the moon will never stop being the ruler of the fourth house. So how mm-hmm. the moon and Mercury relate to each other in my chart is going to be important for that house. Mm-hmm. So there, it's like there's so many.
Right.
The aspects can just go innumerable. I could just sit here all day. And I've told people, you know, I mean, you can get an hour reading, sure. And you're only touching the surface of astrology, even right. your own chart. We are enigmas and amazing. And there's so many, so much to it that it's just so cool. So I think simplification in some ways is actually really good, because it really helps mm-hmm. get you to ground in mm-hmm. to what does this mean? How is this affecting me? And I take everything and I put it inside myself. So mm-hmm. like I look at the self and I say, okay, so this is Aries and Pisces energy for me. How am I, what are my natural things? Like when somebody talks to me, I'll go back into that, right? Like, oh, I reacted really fast. That was the Aries side of Jessica. Where if I act really philosophical, that'll be the Pisces side of Jessica, right? Mm-hmm. So, I'm lucky I have the two, because it could really not be a balance there.
That's so funny you mentioned that too. I've actually, like on my own, I've kind of noticed my own reactions to things. And I keep it pretty simple with either my Virgo or my Gemini brain. I'll bounce between the two of like, do I really like, do I want something like clean and orderly? Or am I just going to go like chaotic on this? And just what happens, happens.
So I think it's really funny, Laura, because you and I are inverted versions on so right. many levels, because I'm a Gemini with the Virgo moon and you're a mm-hmm. Virgo with the Gemini moon. And it's funny because your ascendant is opposite my ascendant. So like, right. there's this like, and I think it's great because I struggle with the Gemini Virgo too, because my son wants to expand and Virgo's like, can we just like perfect all of this stuff? Well, I don't have time for that. I really don't. I want to be doing this and this and this. And I get excited. I'm so ADHD when it comes to reading books. I'm reading 10 books. Right now.
Oh my gosh.
And I can, it's really great because I can go back and forth between all of them and I know like exactly where I am. But at the right. same time, my Virgo mind's like, can we just finish something?
And I think I get that, but it's like more so one than the other. It's obviously more Virgo minded, but I've got that Gemini that's like, okay, but what if we did this? What if we did that? Why don't we just leave this right where it is and go do that thing over there? And then my Virgo mind is like, no, can I just, start to finish. Let me just do this and get it done right. And then having ADD on top of that is, it's an interesting mix, but it's so funny mm-hmm. because I've definitely been thinking of that, like audibly saying it to myself too, of like, okay, Gemini, like I get it. Like
Gemini wants variety. It wants to experience. Mm-hmm. It wants to party, right? Virgo does not want to do any of those things. Virgo wants to like sit around and be like, And that's where the judgment comes in. And actually, right. I think Virgo gets a really bad rap because we tend to look at it as like this critical sign. But where would we be without the perfection of Virgo? Where would we be if somebody didn't go, yeah, this isn't going to work. We really need to shift this, this, and this. And mm-hmm. I do that in my work life. I definitely look at the things that need to be improved and I offer that. And it becomes better when it takes my suggestion, when they take my suggestion, right?
Right.
So I think it's really important. I think, first of all the signs have lower aspects and all the signs have mm-hmm. higher aspects, just depending on who's utilizing the information and how it's going through. Because right. when I look at certain signs that have bad reputations, I want to look for the good things. Like Leos are not all narcissistic. Leos can be very warming to other people. Mm-hmm. They can
They care so much about people. Yeah.
They have such big hearts. Like I had two supervisors that were, that one is still my supervisor and one went to another place. But mm-hmm. I've never felt like, I felt like a seed in the ground. They were just sprouting me and wanting me to blossom. And they gave me so much self-confidence and trust mm-hmm. in me. And they were like looking for me to like, they would take my suggestions. And that was huge for me because usually at work, I can be kind of inside myself. I'm used to telling people stuff and they just ignore me or they don't want to do it because of the money.
Right? Oh, God, yeah.
But then when I really looked at it and I was like, oh, my goodness, like their hearts are so big and they just they just want people to be their best self. They mm-hmm, see the divinity in everybody. So I really started to look and understand that even the most, because we, and this is what's really going on in astrology right now. There's like the people that you don't understand like me that'll talk and they'll be like, okay, that's really nice, but I have no idea what you just said. And then because I've been studying it for so long and because it's my language, you know, mm-hmm. but I know a lot and I'm actually like immersed in it all the time. And then there are people, and then there are astrologers that are looking at the, like the things that people want to hear, like what relationship compatibility looks like, or mm-hmm. all the signs and their worst traits, or what it's like to go on a date with Scorpio. These are a lot of TikTok videos right now.
Oh, yeah. Now, yeah.
That's fine. But what we have to see, too, is that there's so many things in a chart. And if we just judge somebody by one or two signs, it's really not a full picture of who they are or where they are in their path or who they're going to become. And I really like to get outside of that because mm-hmm. I don't really feel like I'm a typical Gemini because of the Pisces mm-hmm. kind of that there's a different balance there, you know? Right. So I really like to just kind of bring it back to there's a whole picture here. Let's look at this person, the whole thing.
Absolutely. And I feel like people just love to glom on to like the negative traits of all the signs too. Like even if you try to explain the bigger picture, some people are still like, okay, but Gemini's two-faced, or, you know, Aries is just hot-headed. And it's like on the surface, maybe that's how it comes off, but that's just not, sure maybe there are some, that is true for some people, but like, that's not actually it.
Geminis can view things from multiple perspectives. Mm-hmm. And I think that's hard for people because I can understand your point of view and I can understand the person that you have a problem with point of view, and I can get on both sides.
Right.
But that just gives me the ability to see things from multiple perspectives in other ways. Now, when I was younger, that would seem two-faced because I could understand where you were coming from and I could understand where they were coming from. But ultimately, I want to understand the situation wholeheartedly instead of making one decision, getting on your side and being on your side. And one would almost argue that that's even worse, right? Because I'm only mm-hmm. seeing it from your perspective because I want to like you more. Instead of seeing the whole picture and seeing like, hey, but and this is how I would give advice too. I would maybe get in the middle of that and then say, well, have you considered this?
Right. So that a little devil's advocate.
so we could come to a consensus. And I really think this brings us back to the Mercury retrograde in that, you know, we see certain things or we're hearing information. We really have to consider our source. And one thing I really want to tell everybody is to listen to you. Mm-hmm. If that resonates with you, great. That's where you're at. Awesome. But if it doesn't, nobody needs to tell you. You don't have to question. It's not up to somebody else. And because I'm an astrologer doesn't make me know more about you than you. If it doesn't resonate, then it's not true for you. And it's okay not to take every single person who's giving you information. So if you want to look at the higher octave of Mercury retrograde and say, hey, what is this teaching you? You can do that without falling into, oh, it's going to affect me badly. Because we can make our own reality by really honing in on what we think is going to happen. We can start looking at all the things that are going wrong instead of the things that it's trying to show us that we need to look at.
God, so I just love when you come on and talk.
Follow up question though, Jess. Can we keep you like forever?
Oh, I love that. Yes. I love that. Yes.
For real though. There's so many things. Like you're a wealth of knowledge, and there's like, you know, I think coming into this is like, okay, we've got questions like we'd love to have answered, and then just so much more comes up because it's like, okay, wait, what about this? What about that?
Well, I want to say that I work on this stuff all the time.
Right.
Because like for me, I see people's divinity. I see how beautiful and amazing they are. And astrology, tarot, whatever we're doing together, spiritual counseling, coaching, I want you to see your divinity. And let's work from there, because you're an amazing divine human being who decided, or soul that decided, that you wanted to have an earthly experience. You're not any of the things that are going on. You're amazing. Right. So anybody that comes to see me is getting that. Anytime we're having a conversation, we're coming from this place that we are amazing. You might be going through stuff. You might have lessons to learn. You might have things that really hurt and bother people that you're working through. But we're all working through those things. And none of us are not experiencing some sort of thing that we wish was different. Of course we are. But then again, that's the growth. And I always go back to this when I'm having a really hard time and I'm struggling in life and like life feels like crazy and chaotic. If some divine soul came down and was like, okay, Jessica, like we can totally let you out of all this stuff, but you'll have to come back and do it again. I'm going to say, no. And so that really centers me when I'm going through a lot, because I'm like, well, I can either just understand that this is part of what I signed up for, because I truly believe that. And just go through it and work through it. And then when I get to the other side of whatever this is trying to teach me, then I can be grateful, because I will feel like I made progress. And I think that's what we're all trying to do. We're all trying to figure out, like, am I making progress?
Right. Yeah.
I love you so much.
Aww.
Jess, I would love to hear, like, what your podcast is about. I'm sure you talk a lot about astrology, because I'm sure like it's you, but like what is like the focus of it? I just want you to, you say that we're amazing, we think you're amazing, tell us all about your amazing podcast and this new endeavor that you have. Like, just tell everyone, because we want people to listen to you. So
and
brag
I
about
also,
you brag about yourself.
After you brag about yourself, I also want you to mention a little bit about your services, because there was something that we did that I feel like we could have you on for a whole nother episode to talk about it, but
open another door. So I do alchemical hypnotherapy. I got trained last year, and so our newest episode is about that. So Bobby Larson, who is my co-host, and she's also a Capricorn, so I love this like symbiotic relationship that we have, you know. And she has her thing, but we have this like non-biased way that we communicate about everything, and it's really these conversations about occult stuff, and it's not just astrology based. Like, there's some of that in there, but it's really like more of this energy of me and her and what we kind of want to bring into the world. And we kind of just let it go to whatever it's going to turn into, kind of like, you know, like we have a topic, but I mean, like yesterday when we talked about hypnotherapy, because we're both trained in it, I mean, we're going to past lives, we're going to spirit guides, we're going to inner child.
So bad.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, honestly, it's a very, very fascinating. And then we did the third eye and we talked about our experiences and, you know, the meditation. So it's essentially like integrating all of the things that we do when we do spiritual work. And we're both, she's minored in sociology and I majored in sociology. So there's that component about what's going on in the world, how that affects our spiritual selves. And then we talk about the business component because she's a small business owner. I'm a small business owner. So it's just essentially like an integrating of all of that stuff.
Right.
And cool. Letting everybody know where we're at. And then, you know, obviously the service thing where I do astrology and tarot. I've done them for a long time. I'm going to be offering my hypnotherapy services very soon. And I think I'm going to get into coaching where like somebody is going through a lot of stuff, say like you, Maria, right? Like all of the stuff that you have going on in your chart, you might want more consistent help with that. And I'm really, really good. You could ask Laura. When you text me and you got a problem going on, like we'll get to the bottom of it. We're going to work it out together. That support is really important. And so that's part of like these new things that come out of like, oh, these are my services, but I can do so much more. And obviously, what was I going to say about that? There's other things. There's so many things. But oh, Laura, the service that we did together, I do, and I don't know if anybody knows this because I think this is something that is not as known in astrology, but there are all these asteroids. And particularly, they were named after goddesses to begin with. And so our divine feminine is like in these asteroids. They're not as common as other stuff, but there's so many of them. It's what I named my business after, Asteria Awakenings, because Asteria is the Greek goddess of astrology. She's also Hecate's mom. And so I have found, so I thought I discovered her. I was like, my friend was like, you need a business name. And I'm like, I hate this. I don't have a business name, right? So I started looking up stuff on Pinterest and I found Asteria. And I was like, oh my gosh, she embodies everything that I am. And so I decided to name my business after her. Well, I found her very significant in my natal chart. She's very significant when I pick the name. I do astrology charts for everything. The first time I debuted my podcast, when I came up with the idea, all of that, Torre astrology, astrology for business is huge. So I just kind of looked at her and see where she was. And I always found significance with her and where, and she's in Taurus, actually. She's in my second house conjuncting my Mars, which is where I get my passion from for what I do. So it was just so much. And she's training my North node, which is where I'm going and the message that I'm putting out there, and my Saturn. So there's just all of these ways in which she was influencing me. And so she picked me as far as I'm concerned. And then when I looked at her chart, because I do that when an asteroid is discovered, I pick a chart for them. And then that helps me with interpreting what that might mean, because the asteroids don't have as much written about them. So, and Laura, do you mind if I share kind of what we did with yours?
Please.
It was Artemis, right?
Yeah, I think we touched on Artemis and Athena.
Yes. And they were both like at the same place, right? Like 14 degrees Virgo conjuncting. I think it was your Mars too, because your Mars is trying my Mars. And it was in your 12th house. So like this goddess was like coming out. And it's funny because when Laura and I started this project, we weren't like, oh, we're going to work with this goddess. Like she came up to us. So I think goddess, asteroid, and then I want to learn, I want to work with magic and doing it, because when these goddesses come up, they have something for us. You know, my Hecate is in Gemini conjuncting my IC, which is the fourth house. So like I work with her internally. I work with her at home, right? Whereas Asteria is in my second house. So I work with her financially. So it just kind of all works out. And just one last thing. She, as I started this business and named it, I looked at her transit where she was in my solar return chart for last year. She was conjuncting my midheaven, which was bringing her out into the world. So all of that was just so cool and awesome.
That working on that with you, it felt like revelation after revelation of like, oh my god, because we looked up like for fun other things,
right?
I think there was an asteroid your that name? Was named Laura.
Yeah, and it was like just your ascendant, right? Like there could be no other thing in the whole entire world that was more you. I mean, I expect to see something, but right. There's one. So the way the asteroids work is they're named. There's 23,000 of them, right?
Wow.
So they can be named. You have to get close to your name sometimes. Like, for example, my last name is Dimitro, and there's one Dimitra. And the funny part is that it's in Taurus, which is funny because my grandfather, who I got that last name from, was a Taurus. So those significant stuff is, it's amazing. Also, I do outer planet charts too. You cannot understand how amazing it is to see the meaning of a planet with a chart. It's like, I don't know in astrology what comes first, the chicken or the egg sometimes. Mm-hmm. Like, did this come in because it was time for this energy to come in? All of the things surrounding its discovery. And the fact is that when it was discovered, like this was going on in the world, and they picked this name, which happens to correspond mythologically, like with Pluto, in the same way that the astrology chart should. So it's, I will never stop loving astrology. I will never stop loving seeing these things and looking at them and integrating them. So I just love that you guys give me this place to come in and speak about this, because this is like, I just feel it in my whole soul how amazing it is.
Well, we're so happy to like give you the platform to talk about it. We just love having you on and just doing your thing. Laura had mentioned to me the thing about the asteroids, and I just wonder, like, how do you even chart that? Because of all of the different like websites and stuff that I've been on, none of them that I've seen have mentioned asteroids at all. So how do you even like, what resource do you use to gather that information?
So the one I've used the longest is AstroDeans, which is www.astro.com. Mm-hmm. And they have an extended chart section. And if you look down, there will be a place in a box. There, first, there will be all these letters above it. Mm-hmm. And then there will be a box where you can input. They have so much stuff. I mean, It's overwhelming how much they offer for you to look at. And I also like AstroSeek, but AstroSeek doesn't do that as well. Astro.com put it so that you could find all the asteroids, even if you didn't know what you were looking for. That's what the alphabet is for. So you can click on something. Say you click on M, Maria, and you wanted to find your name as an asteroid, which I'm sure there's like 50,000. And sometimes
I'm like looking right now.
Right. And sometimes you'll look and it'll be like Maria and then somebody's middle name because that asteroid was named after them. And there might be three of those, but no, just Maria. So you would have to pick to see which one works for you. Right. Because there's just there's so much. And then there's stuff that like you'll never use and it won't mean anything. But like there's art. Maria. What?
There's a Maria.
Yeah.
Like just Maria.
For Jessica, there's no just Jessica. It's like Jessica Pearl, and then there's a couple other ones, and then I'm like, well, I just have to pick the best one.
Maria on my chart is like right next to the Laura.
Oh,
we're right next to each
we're
other.
We're hanging out.
But that just shows like how significant your relationship and you are to each other. That's huge, right? Like, and because obviously Laura is conjuncting Laura's ascendant, Maria's conjuncting her ascendant means that like this is a big part of Laura being able to be herself and bring herself out there. So I think that's really cool.
Yay!
You will see your kids, your husband, like if it's so interesting because like I said, is it the chicken or the egg? Like, did you meet somebody with that name that just happened to be significant, did you name your kid that? Because it resonates with you, right? And that's how you know it's like really resonating. So it's just kind of, right. It's kind of fun to see that in actual, like, in a physical way.
It like, I'm still just, I'm like, I pulled it up so I could poke around, and I like pulled up your chart, Maria, and mm-hmm. I'm like, the Maria asteroids, it's right, it's in your 12th house near your ascendant.
Ooh.
For Maria's chart?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What does that mean? So I know the 12th house is like, what is it, like endings, I guess, or?
I always think like dreams, subconscious intuition.
I think it's like 12th house placements. I think there's a good way to, there's a good and a kind of, like, you might not see yourself, right? I think when people have a lot of 12th house stuff, it's like they have a harder time connecting with that planet. So like your name might, like maybe in childhood you weren't a big fan of it, or you wanted a more like unusual name, right? Or like you had a hard time embodying your name. So those could be some ways, or maybe it's the way of like when you're ready to come into your own, you'll embody that, kind of like what we saw for Artemis and Laura, right? Like Artemis was coming in through certain ways, getting Laura's attention. And when we first started the project, Laura was like, I don't know what I want to work with. And then she just texted me one day and she's like, I want to work with Artemis. And then, so then we saw it and we saw that Artemis was wanting to come out. So maybe mm-hmm. it's like on its way to like, or was on its way to, for you to embody that Maria energy, which if you look at Maria as a name, it's a very beautiful, common name, but it has this like connotation with like, you know, big religious figures and stuff mm-hmm. like that. So
yeah, right. So funny, because like growing up, I, not that I hated my name, but I think it was because it was like the most common like Latin name that right. I felt, you know, just not unique or any mm-hmm. of that. And it wasn't really until I was a teenager that I, or maybe even like late teens, like around like senior year of high school, that I actually started liking my name. But I just mm-hmm. felt like, oh, like there's just like Marias everywhere. I mean, there's so many Marias that it's common in Latin America. If your first name is Maria, you actually go by your middle name, because there's just too right. many damn Marias. You'd say Maria and like 10 people would turn around and say, what?
You know what I kind of get from that, and I could be wrong, but like, I think there's an energy there. I think that all of the women name that, like, there's something there to where there's a connection between you all. Like, I don't know. It would be interesting to kind of suss that out a little bit, because I've known a lot of Marias too, but maybe there is this like sort of connection between you because of that and being named yeah. that.
It's amazing, like, the power that your name has. What you associate with your identity with it, and even mm-hmm. each part of your name, what different parts of your identity you associate it with. And I think I'm realizing it more than ever. Like, I'm totally that bride where I'm like, did I mention I'm getting married? Just I was actually just yesterday talking with my mom, because I was actually getting rather emotional about my name changing, mm-hmm. and how, you know, asking what it was like for her. And I mean, I think everyone's names are significant. Like, our parents name us for certain reasons, whether it's because they were drawn to a name or it's a family name, and obviously the last name is the family name. So it's interesting for me to be approaching this like chapter in my life where I'm realigning my identity, is how I like to say, rather than losing it. But I also told Gavin, like, if I have to change my name, so do you. So he's adding my last name to his middle name. But, you know, it's very interesting how, like, there is so much power in a name, and how I've, like, for example, like, my middle name, which is Alejandra on my dad's side of the family, that's like almost everybody's middle name. We are either something Alejandra or something Alejandro if you're male, And some of them, even just their first name is Alejandro. So it's this thing that we got like from my great grandfather. His name was Alejandro, and like everyone was just named after him. And he's also like, he is my ancestral spirit guide too. So there's just like everything kind of, it's interesting how it all connects, and how there's so much power in how we view ourselves, and how something that we did not choose for ourselves, for most of us, like our name, holds that power and has that spiritual significance.
Well, I really just got chills when you were telling us how your whole family had either Alejandro or Alejandra as the middle name, because I felt that connection, that way in which you guys, because like that's how we're connected by our last name, but we all we go off and get married, and like you're saying, you're adding a different name. And that kind of is a shift for you in identity, because you're really close to that, right? Mm-hmm. You're understanding that, you know what? I've been going by this name my whole life. Like, and you know what? I'm married and I didn't change my last name for that exact reason, because I don't, for me personally, I wanted to be Jessica Dimitro because Dimitro is a very rare last name. My middle name is rare. It's funny because my mom thought my first name was going to be rare, but turns out that there were all these Jessicas born that year. but I think that's really fascinating, because, and that's part of who I am, just kind of keeping that insular. And also, I didn't want to do the paperwork. So there was that.
It's a bit of work.
It's a bit of work. And it, but honestly, like, that's the thing, Maria. Like, I don't know if you're open to a suggestion, but maybe doing a ritual around that. You know, and then writing about how much you appreciated being who you are and how you've grown into yourself as you sort of make this transition and this beautiful ceremony for yourself, you know, because you are adding on somebody to your family, which is or a whole other family, actually.
Yeah.
And then there's something to be said about that special, you know, transition that we go through as women, or even as men who we're becoming. And I love that about this Latino and Latina culture, where they add on each other's last names. Like, all the kids have hyphenated last names because they took the mom's last name. And I think that's so cool, because they're bringing it together, because there's energy in a name.
Yeah.
It's not just one person. They recognize this community and this thing of like, I want you to be connected with all these people, right? And because there are so many people that share your last name. So it's just kind of a cool thing.
Yeah, I love the idea of doing like a little ceremony or ritual just for myself, you know, on the precipice of this next big like life step. And I'm also like very appreciative that, you know, Gavin was so open to like, he's going to be changing his name, like he'll have the same last name. So for him, it's more of like an add-on. I was telling my mom yesterday when we were on the phone that like, yes, he's changing his name, but mine is a little more of a significant change, just because that last name placement carries, I think, more weight, you know, societally. Whereas he's adding my last name to his middle name. But I think just that being able to have that exchange where it feels a lot more mutual, because that was what was important to me. Everybody, like every couple, is different in how they, you know, they do their name changes, or if they don't do their name changes. But yeah, I love the idea of doing some sort of something to commemorate it.
So what, even though he is adding on to his middle name and not his last name, he is changing the numerology of his name. You're changing the numerology of your name.
Oh,
so there is like this sort of even ground of we're breaking through new territory together, as opposed to him just keeping it the same. So even though it's significant, in other words, and it's special, and I think it really speaks to the person that you chose, that they're willing to kind of go through this groundbreaking change with you, as opposed to just having you do it, or like having it be your own identity. I think as we move into the future, I love seeing stuff like that. How can we be inventive? How can we be more equal? And as, you know, because I think a lot of us are, it's not the same as it was 50 years ago when we stayed home and just raised kids. Like, we're both working. We're both, you know, helping maintain the home. We're both having to shift our and change who, you know, we were to become together. And so that just shows me there's beauty in that, seriously. And I'm just so glad you shared it with me, just to be able to kind of see that and your thinking behind it and his being able to see like, hey, this is important to my person. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
I love that. I like really have chills all over my body because of that. I just, it's beautiful how we're all shifting. You know, I know that there's a lot of stuff going on in the world, but we are all shifting. We're all like becoming more than we were. So
I love that. Love this conversation.
Yay. Yes.
We always love this. Every time you're on, it's always such a good conversation that just flows.
Also, how crazy is it? Because we've been talking about like goddesses, like different deities. We just had our deity work for beginners episode. And then the one before that, we had numerology. And right. we just brought up numerology. It's like all of our recent topics are just like all coming to a head in this conversation. It's all perfect.
Well, for me, I just want to say that any of these topics are integrated. They're not, right. They don't stand alone. This is what really, when I was younger in my like early 20s and I was really starting to become an astrologer and look at things, what really resonated to me about spirituality or the occult in particular is the way that they all held hands. They weren't competing with each other. It was like they work together. Tarot works with astrology. Mm-hmm. The Kabbalion and all of the hermetic principles work with these principles. Mm-hmm. So there's this sort of symbiotic relationship that they share that makes it easier to integrate them. Like once you learn something and you're like, oh, well, if I look at it this way, as I look at the astrology and the way the goddesses are influencing me in my chart, and also I can see which goddess I want to work with, as far as like, you know, calling upon her and having her guide me or work with her energy, right? So I just think, how cool is that, for one? And for two, like, if you're interested in this, this gives you a door, because as I was thinking about it earlier, I use my astrology brain when studying. And so I understand there are certain basic things that come out of that that help me integrate and learn the other things. So I don't think it's coincidental. Yeah. That you guys had these like things and then they sort of came into the conversation, because they are meant to be integrated. They're meant to be utilized together, you know? So how cool is that?
It's really cool.
So cool.
Oh.
Well, do we have any final like questions, Laura? Or
I'm trying to think of like, I mean, I, for one, definitely feel like I have a better understanding of Mercury. Okay, no, I just came up with a question. So we talked about when, like, where this is occurring, like, in our chart, things like that. What about, like, is there any significance of where Mercury was in our natal chart?
Mm-hmm.
Like, having for me, a Libra Mercury, does that come into play at all? In a Mercury retrograde.
Absolutely. Just, it's like, how do I say it? Like, it's like, it will show you where stuff comes from, right? Like, even if it's in your, like, second or third house, but it usually debuts in your seventh house. It was in your seventh house natally. You're going to know that you're going to see the communication and your self-value come up in your relationship. Right? Because that Mercury is sort of your flagpole of what Mercury is in your life. And it's the representation of, you know, your relationship and how you communicate. Because that, think of it like this. The planets, wherever they are in your birth chart, are showing you consistent things that you will be working through. Now, when they transit, when they, you know, are in different charts, it'll kind of give you more information of the situations you can expect or where that energy could come from. But ultimately, that is going to be the deciding factor of what you will be working on consistently. Does this make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually had to just like double check my chart, because I'm like, where was my Mercury in my chart? First house. Okay.
First house. Fun. No, I was kidding. Well, I think first house Mercury is like, you know, that, and I think all like beginning stuff, like first house, and also when we find planets at the first degrees of a sign or a house, mm-hmm. is that you're moving into a new cycle. So right. you're moving into a new communication cycle in this lifetime, right? Because I think of a chart also as like a clock for soul evolution, and that, mm-hmm. you know, certain things can signify, oh, I came here to work on this lifetime, because maybe last lifetime I had completed this cycle.
Right. God, that's so cool.
Wow.
I feel like every time we talk, I have like this new view of myself.
I love that. That's like literally what I want to do for everybody on the whole entire planet. But also because, like I said, I think everybody is beautiful and divine in their own way. And I think mm-hmm. astrology gives us the tool to be able to understand ourselves. Like, I know right. for me, it was the way in which I could understand, like even today, right? Like, because I started doing draconian charts, which takes the higher self chart. Oh my God, Laura, mm-hmm. you have no idea, right? Like, but you overlay it on top of your natal chart, and then it gives you this other perspective of like what your soul chart is and your regular chart. And then those transits and stuff like that, when it's hitting certain places or where planets are in regards to where they were when you were born versus where your soul has them. I mean, it's a game changer. And I've like gotten into this so much that I could spend days like just looking at it and being like, oh my God, this is so significant, you know? And also knowing that even though my moon is in Virgo, I still can embody my Aries moon, because that's where it is in my draconian chart, right? So mm-hmm. always more. I love it when I not love it, but I think it's so ironic when a book says the complete book of astrology, and I like just laugh to myself, like there's no such thing as the complete version. and we're, it's moving every single day. Like every single day, either something is becoming like it, like changing in my awareness of it and changing in the world. And like the internet, for example, I really feel that's ruled by Aquarius and Uranus. But before the internet, like it wasn't, you know, there obviously wasn't anything to be ruled by that. But then when it came out, and then you see the connection and see how it brings community get together, and also the hardness, that is obviously Aquarian. So we're constantly learning and shifting our worldview and shifting how we feel about astrology. There are sometimes it changes for me in signs. I can't think of an example right now, but something will be maybe Taurian, and then all of a sudden I'll see it more as Virgo. So
I have a quick question.
Yes.
The draconian card, was that, did we briefly talk about it where it shifts it to
the north
node?
0 degrees. Aries.
Right. Didn't mm-hmm. I, because I thought I played with, either did we play with it? I played with the afferent after there was like barely any change.
So if you have your north node close to Aries, 0 degrees Aries, then it wouldn't change much. I actually saw one chart where it like moved 3 degrees. So what that means is that you have consistent energy in those places.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that, you know, anything bad. It just is that you're going to see more consistent of that. And you're very close to your soul. The woman whose book I read, Pam Crane, she was like, she had really good things to say about when somebody had their draconian chart and their natal chart very close together.
Interesting.
Man, Jess, you and I have to have a session. I'm jealous.
Yes, you do. You do. I told you. Call
her. You are free to contact me. I am like the nicest person to contact. I always love to talk about this stuff. So. You're free to contact me, I promise. Cool. I won't be like, what do you want?
Do it, Jess. I just pulled up I've definitely had astro.com pulled up off on the side here. And I just pulled up draconian, or the option for draconian chart, and yours is different. And it's very cool. You guys should talk. You should talk.
Well, and I think, Maria, you're going through a lot of changes. I was actually thinking before even, you know, I was like, maybe we should talk, because I think it would just be good to have somebody to kind of like round it out, you know, mm-hmm. that there's mm-hmm. big shifts going on. And just so like, you don't think that like the planets are like getting you, that actually this is all happening for a reason. And I think when we have a lot of Earth placement, we tend to take change a little bit on the harsher side, mm-hmm. because we're like, I like it like this. This is okay for me, because this is, I, this is predictable, and I know it, and I've got it to my clock, and I know how to work within this. But then when something outside of that happens, even though it's in our best interest, it feels too much. It can be overwhelming. So, mm-hmm. so please, please reach out to me.
Oh, I definitely will. I definitely will.
We could do it as like a wedding gift.
Oh, I would love that. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Totally the best.
Oh man. I think that is our episode. Jess, please plug all of your social media, your podcast. Tell us how the people can find you.
So, like I said, Alchemical Goat podcast. You can find us on Acast and Spotify. You can also follow us on Instagram under that. And then if you're wanting a reading from me, you can reach out to me by asteriaawakenings.com is my website. You can email me at asteriaawakenings@gmail.com. And you can follow me on Instagram.
All right. And I will, as I said, include all of those important links to find Jess in our show notes. So if you're interested, please check out the show notes. We'll have all that information there.
And can I just, sorry.
Yeah.
But could I just offer that anybody who wants to do a natal chart reading with me, I will give them $50 off. So I will do it an hour for $75 if you guys just say Mercury retrograde when you contact me.
Nice.
Ooh, I hope you all were listening.
If you listen to the end, this is your prize. Yeah. Wow, Jess, thank you so much for your time, for your words of wisdom, for your enthusiasm, and for just being you.
Yeah. Thank you for having me on. I just want to say I love your listeners. I've worked with a couple of your listeners, and I've done a couple of readings with them, and my heart is so full, because I think you guys have such amazing people that listen to you and follow you. So I know that there's a symbiotic relationship between all of us, and you know, just know that. And I just want to say thank you to your listeners for listening to me, and for I've received emails about, you know, how they love the podcast. So
yeah, we love our listeners. Yay. They're the best.
They are.
Yeah, you guys are so amazing. I'll get into our outro for everybody. So if you're new to the podcast, please follow us on social media. We are at The New Witches. You can also contact us. You can go to our website, thenewwitches.com, and go to our contact page. You can email us directly at thenewwitches@gmail.com. And lastly, you can also call us. We have a Google voicemail box. It is 707-559-8111. And lastly, if you'd like to support the podcast other than in those ways, you can support us on Patreon. So go to patreon.com/thenewwitches. And we have several membership tiers for as little as $5. You get exclusive Patreon member benefits. You're included in our private Facebook group. You're added to our close friends list on Instagram. We give you a lot of goodies throughout the year, as well as bonus monthly episodes. So definitely check that out. And on whatever listening platform, if you can do so, please rate and review us. It definitely does so much, not only to help our ratings, but also to let us know what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. We always strive for growth. Thank you so much for listening again. Thank you so much, Jess, for coming on. We're the New Witches, and stay witchy.
Keep it creepy.
Bye.
Bye.